You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio and our Making It Accessible series to celebrate Global Access Awareness Day. Today, we are talking all things Braille, as we are talking to All Things Dotty. Joining me from All Things Dotty is Brandon Holcooper. Brandon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on. It's going to be good.
Can you tell me, what was the catalyst for starting All Things Dotty, and a little bit about you?
My name is Brandon Holcoop. I'm 24 years old. I live in Plymouth with my mum, dad, brother and sister, and my dog, Bentley. I'm completely blind. I have light perception only. My condition is called septo-optic dysplasia, which means the nerves that should connect my eyes to my brain aren't long enough. I started All Things Dotty 3 years ago because I realised that not enough was being done to make the world more accessible in a public sense. So, for example, I used to go to restaurants with my family, and we always used to say, do you have a Braille menu? The answer was always no. Then I realized the other part of to it was the fact that nobody could read their own birthday cards. I couldn't read my own birthday cards. A family would buy them for me, and then they would have to read them out to me. But then I couldn't read them myself after that. I couldn't enjoy them, the same as a sighted person would. And that's how we started, really. That's why I started. I realized that there were things that needed to be provided and that awareness needed to be raised. And I decided to try and start the fight.
Next, I want to talk to you about your QR codes and how you make restaurant menus accessible, because that's quite a game changer, especially that, you know, at the moment, sometimes you've got few options. You can maybe get a Braille menu at the restaurant, which may or may not be in date. Sometimes you might just have to ask a staff member to read it. How have you made restaurant menus accessible?
We do offer Braille menus, and we contact restaurants and we offer them a package whereby they update the menu. They send the menu through to us, we update it for them for a reduced price after the initial menu is done. On the flip side of that, obviously there is a large print. So on the front of the menu is Braille, and on the back you flip it over, it's dark double fronted, and there's large prints, and that's catering for everybody. Even if somebody forgets their glasses, you know, so this person forgets their glasses, they can use that. Alternatively, the QR code options. Now, this was a bit of a brainwave I had last year. You can scan the QR code and have the menu read out to you. So we transcribe the menu. And the way we do that is by transcribing it and then placing that under a secure server, creating a QR code for it, printing the QR code, and then putting Braille over the QR code to make it accessible. So from what I understand, a QR code is made up of squares, and in those squares are loads of little dots. So we Braille loads of little meaningless dots over the surface of the QR code so that a visually impaired person knows where to scan. And then once they've scanned that, it reads the menu out, or the, you know, whatever it might be, reads it out to them in full.
When it comes to restaurants getting involved with your accessible menus, you know, how many restaurants have you got taking you up on this offer?
Quite a few. I mean, I reckon we've got at least 50. Most of them are independent restaurants, although we have done a couple for a restaurant in a Holiday Inn in Liverpool in the past. That's the only chain we've worked with. But we've got quite a few in my hometown of Plymouth, quite a few in the southwest. We've got three or four in Wales, one in Scotland, and I think we've got three in the southeast as well, three or four in the southeast.
Is there a way that people can either recommend restaurants or get restaurants to join kind of your accessible menus scheme?
If you go onto our website, there is a Braille menus page. The website is allthings.ebraille.co.uk. Click on the Braille menus page. And I would urge anybody who's listening, if you know of a restaurant that should be accessible but isn't, get the website up on your phone. Show them the website. If you would like some business cards or some flyers, please do email in through the website, because we can send you business cards and you can hand them out to restaurants as well, you know, and they can get in touch with us.
I want to now talk about some of the work you have done with museums. What were the biggest challenges in kind of taking the, you know, audio menu concept from kind of the restaurant table to exhibitions and describing museum exhibits?
You're basically, as you just said, they're two very different documents. The menu is a table, and it has descriptions of the ingredients included in a dish. You know, you've got a full English breakfast that might have sausages, bacon, beans, that sort of thing. What you're doing then is you're putting the idea, you've still got to transcribe it, you've still got to edit it, you've still got to change the layout and the format of the document to make it flow. Because what we do is we use an app called Natural Reader to read the tour guides and indeed the menus. So we've got to make sure that that app, that AI app, can understand what it's meant to do. So in concept, you're using a much bigger document. It's going to be a lot longer in audio. And what we had to do is we had to make sure that nothing was missing. So we went from room to room. We went through the whole layout of the museum. We looked at what exhibits were in each room, how we would describe them. The manager of the museum actually wrote the initial tour guide, and then I edited it to make sure it's that little bit more descriptive and explanatory for visually impaired people. And then, of course, it still works the same way in that we put it on a secure database and we create a QR code to it. But the actual transcription process had to be looked at really carefully, because as you can imagine, a tour guide is so much longer than a menu, and with so much extra information, we didn't want any of it to go missing, and we didn't want anything to go wrong with the AI recording process.
I next want to talk to you about the lived experience you use when designing your solutions, because, you know, you input your lived experience to everything you do. And the question I've got is, in terms of businesses, do you think they grasp these solutions better than they would if, say, they got in external consultants? Do you think, you know, how much of a difference do you think having that lived experience makes in terms of putting in an appropriate solution to your product?
Somebody living with sight loss has more of an understanding of what the visually impaired community would benefit from and what the community actually 100% needs. When I provide an accessibility audit to an organization, whether that's the museum, a charity, a restaurant, whatever it might be, I'm putting my real lived experience into the conversation. I'm saying, well, based on my experiences, I'd recommend this. Or because I know a lot of visually impaired people and I follow a lot of groups on Facebook, I can say, well, the general consensus for this topic is that X, Y, and Z. Bringing lived experience into it seems to make organizations more aware that actually, yes, it does need to be put in place. What I would say, though, is that there are still some organizations that are not receptive to it at all. One restaurant in particular, they actually walked away before I finished introducing myself. I'd explained that my name is Brandon and that we offer accessible menus. And they said, no, we don't need it. We don't have any visually impaired customers. And I said, well, how do you know if you've got any visually impaired customers? Not everybody walks around with a cane or a guide dog. So how do you know? I think there is still a long way to come. Despite the fact that lived experience helps, I think there's a very, very long way to come in awareness. The Equality Act exists and organizations should be following it. But unfortunately, if they don't think that they have any visually impaired customers, or if they think that their VI customers would be happy to have the menu read out to them, they're actually really mistaken.
The final question I want to ask you, you know, you guys at All Things Dotty have conquered accessible menus, you've conquered museums and audio tours. So my next question is, what barrier is next for All Things Dotty to break down for the blind and partially sighted community?
Well, the biggest thing for us at the moment is the fact that timetables aren't accessible to us. If you come across a timetable on a website, it may still be in table form, which means that VoiceOver or your screen reader might struggle to interpret it for you. So the next biggest thing is that All Things Dotty is working with Plymouth City Council to provide audio timetables, which again will be situated under a QR code. And it will allow visually impaired people and people with reading difficulties to scan the QR code and have the timetable read out to them. And it means that it's just so much easier to access the timetable that you are looking for rather than struggling with a website, struggling with a table, struggling with something that actually might not be completely accessible. But also we're looking at going back to museums. We're looking at providing tactile portraits of some of their exhibits. So with the museum that I just worked with, Tavistock Museum it's called, to provide them with audio tour guides, I also produced tactile portraits of an Edward VI coin, a replica of the Golden Hind, and we've got a couple of others in the pipeline as well. So that's just a couple of our bigger ambitions at the moment.
That is excellent, Brandon. Thank you very much, first of all, for all the great work you do at All Things Dotty for blind and partially sighted people, but also for coming on and telling us all about it here on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.